This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, we'll get to hear from Arizona Republican Representative David Schweikert. He's been sounding the warning bell for now a few years on the nation's debt and our budget. That's coming up in just a moment. Now, CPI, that's Consumer Price Index numbers, are out. Food price inflation. Megan Schweitzer with USDA.
Food at home or grocery prices rose by 0.1% in April and were 1.1% higher than they were a year ago in April of 2023. Food away from home prices rose by 0.3% in April and were 4.1% higher than this time last year. And overall food prices, both grocery and restaurant prices, rose by 0.2% in April and were 2.2% higher than a year ago.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Representative David Schweikert from Arizona recently on the floor of the House.
A week ago Friday, you saw the updated report on the 2023 fertility rates. I was wrong in my number. It's worse. It is worse than the speeches I came here and gave. We're down to 1.62, meaning we are way below replacement rates now. The United States is dying. And one of the things I'm frustrated with is the Census Bureau numbers basically say when we start to get beyond, because remember, the Census Bureau had us at 1.64. Turns out they were wrong. It's 1.62. And they were projecting as we go through the rest of this century, which is a long time, but think about it, your kids, you have a young child right now, they're going to live, hopefully, with the Lord's blessing, 100 years? We start to collapse population-wise. And we're going to walk you through a couple of why these are such a big deal. Deaths are projected to exceed births. This chart said 2040. It's a little sooner. If you take last week's fertility number, in about 15 years, the United States will have more deaths than births. There is no industrialized country that has succeeded in adopting policy that changed their fertility rates on the long run. So you have Hungary and these others. Hey, we'll make your future life, have a fourth kid, no pay, no income taxes in the future. Hey, we'll buy you a house. We'll do, and you get a little pop, and then boom, after a few years, it moves right back to mean. Got to deal with the reality. It turns out all over the world, as the world's gotten more prosperous, we have a collapse in fertility. But yet we built a social entitlement system. You know, it's earned benefits. You earned your Medicare. You earned your Social Security. But they were based on the concept that there would be this many workers. Because the reality, today's FICA taxpayer, payroll taxpayer, their paycheck went into your Social Security check today. Or your Medicare. It's just the way it's always been. What happens when that next generation gets smaller? Are we also emotionally, mentally prepared for the number of schools that will be closing? Because it's starting to happen all over the country. Because U.S. fertility started to roll over in 1990. It's just now accelerated. We had a tiny little blip, a tiny blip, during the pandemic, and now it's gone back, and the trend line continues to get uglier and uglier. But it's reality. Think about it. You live in a country where in 15 years, we'll have more deaths than births. Are we prepared for that? And are you ready? Are we ready? Is this body intellectually ready for saying, okay, you can adopt policies that are child-friendly, this and that, but there's no other country that's come up with an example where it actually raised the number of children. Are we ready to adopt policy to embrace technology? And this is where it gets really uncomfortable. How many robots are you ready to embrace? How much AI are you ready to embrace? When you call the IRS, instead of having a person, are you ready to be talking to ChatGPT? Probably in that case, you might prefer the chat. We are going to have to adopt the embracement, or whatever the word would be, of technology in ways to keep the economy growing without more people. And this is happening all over the industrialized world. How many times behind these microphones have you heard any member of Congress come and say, hey, I actually care about prosperity. I care about the next generation. I care about economic growth. I care about the future. We're going to adopt things where we're going to embrace technology so we can keep having prosperity. Huh? The math is the math, and the math will always win. And one of the things I'm also annoyed with is, as reading through the Social Security Actuarial Report, they're making crap up. They have fertility numbers in here. They have us growing. CBO actually has numbers growing. And yet we talk to the Census Bureau, and the Census Bureau's down here. Could our government agencies actually, who we spend a fortune with all these actuaries, maybe have a cocktail party? Preferably no alcohol. Make it a coffee. We'll do a coffee. Because that's what I need, is a bunch of well-caffeinated actuaries in the same room from Social Security, from maybe OMB, CBO, a couple of these others, the Census Bureau, in the same room. Can you give us a number? Because you're making it miserable around here trying to actually say, here's what our future looks like. Because so far, they keep being wrong. It's a little geeky, but that's important. And that was my mocking them for the number of times I send them memos saying, can you explain your number and why it's so different than each other? Look, the other point, and I got some questions on this from last week, so I just brought the board back. You had the president stand right there, and he basically said, we're going to do this for Medicare. We're going to raise this tax and this and that. Okay. The red portion here is when you pay your payroll tax. That's the portion that goes to the Medicare Trust Fund. The rest you functionally pay for. This comes out of the general fund, which we're borrowing part of it. Over here, that's actually your premiums, and a little bit of this is some other transfers, and then we also have a little slice here, which is for dual eligibles, those who are seniors but may be in Medicare, Medicaid, so we also get a little sliver from the state. But once again, the majority of spending in Medicare is not the trust fund. Now, I'm elated that the current model on the trust fund is it extended for another few years. That's wonderful. We need to sort of study that, except if you read the actuary report, the reason it extended is really fragile. This dark blue there, that and interest are the primary drivers of U.S. debt. Tell the truth. Maybe get you unelected. But how do you make public policy in a world where you're not allowed to tell the truth? Oh, that's what members of Congress do. Rising Social Security and Medicare shortfalls drive nearly the entire 2019 to 2023 deficit rise. It's the facts. It's CBO's own quote. And here's the board that I promise will be in the attack ad going at me the next election, except it's CBO's own numbers, except it's 2 years out of date. There's a number right here. It basically says Social Security and Medicare, $116 trillion deficit. The rest of the budget, $3 trillion, is functionally in balance. Except the problem is, for anyone right now, you care enough, go grab your phone, go use a search engine, look up CBO's report from 6 weeks ago. 30-year number is not $116 trillion. It's $143 trillion is now our model. That's what higher interest rates did. $143 trillion. 100% of that borrowing, Medicare and the interest financing on that, backfilling of Social Security and the interest financing on that. We can revolutionize this if we finally be willing to legalize technology. The morality of moving and pushing cures. Why does this place seem to like to finance people's misery instead of working with the FDA, working with biopharma, working with the people out there that are disrupting disease and misery? We seem to have a place around here that wants to build diabetic clinics instead of cure diabetes. What's wrong with the morality of this place? Another thing we're trying to figure out in the Social Security Actuary Report is they play this game where, hey, when we get the out years, things collapse. We'll do that in a week or two because it's a little complex. Another chart just trying to explain once again what is the Part A, Trust Fund. Part B, General Fund. This here, Part D, also is a combination of also some of the fees you pay. That's your Medicare. And back to the last couple points I want to make here. When I just told you we're about to have our fifth year of prime age males dying younger, is it moral to stand here and say, remember, this chart functionally ends at 2020. It's actually gotten uglier. The U.S. is an outlier in disease and disability trends. We're sicker than the rest of the industrialized world. Is it we're not spending enough on health care? Well, that's absurd. Because, let's be honest, we engage in agricultural policy, nutrition support policy, where you can take your EBT card and go buy onion rings. Is that moral? Why isn't there a fixation in this place when we have states where over half the population statistically is obese? They're dying on us. We have a society that finances crap in our diets. Why would we do this to each other? Is that Republican or Democrat? I'm just trying to make the arguments immoral. And it turns out if you took it on, it's the single biggest thing you could do for U.S. debt, is take on the very things that are killing us. And I've done presentations before. They were a little geeky, trying to explain that if we could make our society healthier, it's the single biggest thing I can do to reduce U.S. debt. And then there's these things, we all remember your high school economics class. First degree effects, second degree effects, third degree effects, knockoff effects. You remember all the weird language? You want more of our brothers and sisters to be able to marry and family formation and participate in society and be able to participate in the economy. Help us make our society healthier. I'm trying to make, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'm trying to make the morality argument that the very thing that would be most effective for us to take on the U.S. debt, legalizing technology to crash the price of healthcare, putting technology into this government to make government smaller and more efficient, it requires thinking. It also requires really annoying a whole bunch of the people in our hallways demanding more money from us. It's also would be incredibly moral. It would actually give our kids a chance for, in many ways, the prosperity that we and previous generations had. Think about it. We've done this to ourselves. There is a way out. It's not easy. It requires some complexity. And are these Republican or Democrat ideas? They're neither. They're just hard.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this summer? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have a tree and post puller that will handle trees up to 3 inches in diameter. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to get the skid steer attachments to make your job easier.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Today we heard from Arizona Representative David Schweikert.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. You're listening to our comprehensive look at agribusiness news, markets, and weather. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this summer? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have a tree and post puller that will handle trees up to 3 inches in diameter. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to get the skid steer attachments to make your job easier.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Improvements continue within USDA's latest pasture and rangeland conditions report. USDA meteorologist Mark Brusberg says for the period ending May 12th,
good to excellent pasture and range was rated as 47% nationally. That's an increase of 13 points over the previous week.
The highest levels of pasture and rangeland good to excellent conditions are found in the Midwest.
Ohio was 90%. Illinois was 79%. Even after Iowa got off to a dry start this year, they're at 67% good to excellent. That's a jump of 14 points over the last week.
Pasture and rangeland condition improvement in the nation's midsection could be found as far west as eastern Kansas.
The east has been picking up some very good rainfall. They're now at 39% good to excellent condition. That's a jump of 26 points from last year.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.